So, okay, let me ask you this morning, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I love that chorus, Carleen. Thank you. Are you desperate? Are you hungry? You know, we have children. Most of us here have children. If you don't have your own, you have nieces, nephews, whatever. And little children are very much, aren't they? They'll come to the table and there's a lovely meal put out before them, and they'll play around, or they'll be excited to go out and play for their toys, and then they get away from the table, and then they come back a little bit later. Mummy or Daddy, I'm hungry. You don't do that, do you, Joshua? I'm hungry, I'm still hungry. And Mum and Dad say, well, if you'd sat at the table and ate what was put before you, you wouldn't be hungry. But you know, we're like that. We come to church and we get caught up with other things and we don't feed. Not only in church, not only here, but in our daily lives, do we really feed on this wonderful gift of life, this wonderful table that has been spread before us from the Lord? Do we really feed on Him and allow His Spirit to bring that through us so that we become more and more like Jesus? Our theme, of course, is to shine, and we know that we're called to shine. And I've got some good news for you this morning, that I don't know what the week holds for you, but I'm certain that there is one who holds you. He holds us, and He has promised nothing is impossible for you. Nothing that He has declared, that He has appointed you to do, will be impossible. Not that mountain that you're facing, not that task that you're dreading, not that decision you're afraid to make. He may tell us, He may not tell us all the details of what's to come, but He reminds us of what's ours no matter what. And what's ours today is victory. Victory in Him. A future in Him. A plan that's as good as He is. Always. Always. Do you know that? You know, we've seen some atrocities happening in our world. And we watch the television and we think it's dreadful. But we don't fully comprehend because we're not there. But there are some things that are happening around our world, and even has happened here in Australia, and we know that, and we really need to pray for those people. And as I said at ladies on Thursday, that of course people here that have their loved ones from Australia in that country will be longing for their own families to come home. But it really concerns me when the commentators or the reporters get on and say, oh, there's so many Australians in there and we've got to get the Australians out. The Australians are no better than the Japanese people. We are all people, and at least the people in Australia have somewhere to come for safety. Those people have to face the devastation every day. And so we need to be very careful about how we represent ourselves or how we think about things, but we need to be very mindful of those people. And we know that storms come in our life. We know there are challenges in our life. Bad things happen to good people. The blessings of God fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. And we know that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where man is living his own way and doing his own thing. And James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Now, as I said, God doesn't always give us the plan, but He's with us in it because He knows the way that we take. Storms and tragedies come, but you see, if they're given to God, they're not there to block us, to shatter us, to demolish us, but they're to grow us. They're there to grow us. All things work together for good, the Word of God says, for me, because I love the Lord and I know that I'm called according to His will and purpose. But you see, if I want to know that, I need to be hungry, I need to be desperate, I need to be thirsty. I was really excited to see about the youth recharge, recharge. It's like recharge. You know, if you've got something, I've got a bought this new little sweeper that my husband sort of scoffed at when I first got it, but it's just been wonderful for me. It's battery electric sorry, but you've got to charge this thing and then put it in. But he's been quite surprised too at how it's very light and it looks like a little carpet sweeper. But you plug it in and then you push the when it's charged, you push it into the handle and then away she goes. And it's very light for me to be able to pick things up. But when it's dead, it's dead. And so it will stop. And I know that I've got 45 minutes, which I don't do all at once, but there's that time. But then, you see, I know that if it stops, I can go and plug it back into the circuit. And that's what we need to do, be plugged into the circuit so that we're being recharged all the time. And you see, if we're hungry, and Gadgen beautifully brought around communion, and I was so thrilled because I want to bring that in today. Do you remember the day that you met Christ? Do you remember the day you met your first love? I pray that you do, and that it's not a distant memory, but a very close memory, because I certainly remember that day. I can feel that day. It's never left me. It was awesome. And I pray that you would stand in that today, the commitment of that, the purpose of that, the promise of that, the completeness of that. And those of you who have never really come to that place, I pray by the time you leave today that you'll be hungry to ask somebody what it means to be connected in, to know what it means to be Jesus Christ's, have him in your heart and your life. And so we know that when troubles come, we need to flee. We need to cling to the rock that is higher than we are. We need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be strengthening ourselves. We need to have a commitment for prayer. You know, when troubles come and trials and difficulties and decisions that we have to make that we feel overcome with, we so often run around thinking about what we're going to do. And I often think, you know, my husband always says to me a saying, if you want to know something, go to the butcher, not the block. And it's very true. We need to go to the Word of God, not other things. And so we need to be seeking the source, the one that can strengthen us, the one that will give us the answers. So we need to have a commitment. We need to be consistent in prayer. We need to be consistent in reading the Word of God. We need to be consistent in our family time. We can get so many things out of order in our life, and then when trouble comes, we're just lost. We just get thrown over. And so if we have those things and those principles working in our life, then we will know where to go to get recharged. We'll know where we go for this Spirit of God to come in, to lift us, to encourage us, to grow us, so that we might face. You might say, yes, I'm going through a struggle. But you see, often that struggle, we know some of the things we go through, we do them ourselves. They're a consequence of our bad choices. We know sometimes it's a work of the enemy, but there's many times God allows us to go through that struggle because he's wanting to purify us. He's wanting to grow us. He's wanting to see us develop some spiritual muscles, because we know that we don't learn, we don't grow when things are going really well. It's only when we go through real struggles that we run to cling onto him. You know, we read so much in the Bible, don't we, of David, who we read from him as a young boy, and then even as he became a man, that he reached and went through many trials and difficulties. And David suffered depression, and he used to get down, and yet the Spirit of God would come and lift him, and he'd cry out, "Oh, Lord, the glory and the lifter of my head, for thou, O Lord, art a shield unto me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Is that what you cry when you have a problem? Do you know him to be that glory and the lifter? And you see, it's so much about the head, because a lot of our struggles come because of our mind, because we use so much. We've been going through in Woman to Woman a lot of that, and I've been encouraging that we've got to have more of the Spirit. We've got to become Spirit people. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to grow greater and our mind to become less. And I was so excited. We went, and Pastor Chris will bring more of it, I'm sure, over the weeks. But we went to State Council, down at Geelong, and they had the main speaker, and he spoke about this being little and this being big. Whereas so often this is the biggest. We go so much through our intellect, and we try to reason things through when we need to be speaking out in our prayer language and calling the Holy Spirit to bring wisdom, because our mind will only get us into trouble. Our mind sees things bigger than they are, and our mind will lead us into greater difficulty. We need, if we want a victorious life and we want to be problem free, if we want to overcome all things, then we need to have this word, this sword in our hearts, in our very being, so that we can speak. And even this morning as we were coming here, John put on the Christian radio and there was this lovely song. I don't remember any of it, except it was like, "Yes, Lord, thank you." And a part of the song says, "Let me pray what you say." And that's what I always say. We need to, when we get into these things, declare the word of God. Don't cry out about your problem. Declare the word of God over the problem. Allow the spirit to rise within you so that you're not thinking of it with your mind. You're not trying to intellectually deal with it, but you are allowing the spirit to rise up and say, "His will be done. I declare your purposes. I declare your promises over my life, Lord. I will have what you have said I will have." And so we need to, but struggles don't last forever. They don't last forever. And you know, the devil wouldn't be fighting for you if you weren't going somewhere. Whenever you start to move in a direction, and that's another thing I hear Christians, and even as we visited these towns, it was like, "Oh, I really felt that God wanted me to move in this direction. I really started to pray." And then all these things went wrong. And you see, if we think with this, we think, "Oh, I've made a mistake." Or we get caught up in that struggle that's coming. No, I will stand and declare your word, Lord. You've said that to me, and I will move forward in your power and in your strength. You know, God left the giants in Canaan. Why? So that the children of Israel would fight and understand what it meant to claim what was really theirs. God could have left Canaan empty. And many people, as I've said before, think that Canaan is eternity. It's not. It's talking about moving into the new life. It's talking like more about our salvation. And so when they moved into Canaan, there were giants there. And there were wars and things that they had to fight. But they had to hold on to the fact that God said, "This land is yours." And they had to possess the land with the promise, with the declaration, with the confidence that it was theirs. When the Lord Jesus came into my life, he said, "This is the life that I've laid before you, that I will be with you. Though you walk through the fires, they will not consume you. When you walk through the water, it will not overflow you. Fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. I have called you. I've redeemed you. I've created you. I've called you by name." What greater promise could we have? And my life stretched out before me. Here I was, just barely 17. And I didn't know what was ahead of me. But God has been faithful. And there have been much. There is much. We all can share much about things, about struggles and trials. But oh, the joy of the victory, the sweet blessing of seeing God overcome, of giving us the fullness of what he's promised. And everything God promised me, I've received and more. I've not lost or been cheated of a thing, because God is faithful, the promised. Do you know that today? Do you know that in here today? Because your mind will trick you. Your mind will tell you, "Oh, you made a mistake. Maybe you didn't read that word properly. Maybe it was just that person talking to you when you've been given a word." No, you need to stand on the promises of God and know his spirit within you. The struggles prepare us for a future. Struggles make us stronger. They indicate that we're going through a transition. They indicate that we are going through a transition. And so this morning, I very quickly want us to look at 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 14. And I'll read it, but there's just one part of that scripture that I want to bring that is so relevant to us today that it's just been bursting out of me for weeks. And when Pastor Chris mentioned that John and I could share this morning, I was so excited, because this word needs to be brought. 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 14. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved me and has called me with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before time began. But how now, being revealed by the appearing of the Saviour Jesus Christ, who was abolished and who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel, to which I was appointed preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And this is it. For this reason I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I've believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I love that scripture. I learned that scripture many years ago. But as the years have gone, God has unfolded the reality of that scripture to me. Can you say that today? For I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. The dictionary says, and some translations say that I'm convinced, but I love persuaded because that's what the old says. The Word of God says persuaded, and persuaded means convinced, won over, moved to, led, influenced, motivated, lured, attracted to, prevailed upon, brought to see the light. You see, if we don't know, if we're not persuaded that he is able, we will never shine the light, because we'll always be caught up with questions and inquiries and thinking, is this real? Are you persuaded today? Is your confession that he is able? Are you persuaded that he is able to keep? And as we said before in round communion, the day that you were saved, the Lord implanted in you life. Life, real life, not just living and breathing life, spiritual life, an everlasting life that nothing but nothing could snuff out. Nothing could destroy or dampen unless you allow it. That light burns bright within us, and it needs to burn bright within us today. And that's the light that we need to live in. That's the light that shines, that ministers to other people. That's the light that people need to see. But you see, if we're confused about that, then we hinder that light from shining. But the day that I was saved, as I said, God gave me a love that was tangible. A love, it wasn't a feeling, just, it was a knowledge, it was an awesome encounter with this awesome God. And I can still, if I stand and think about it, it gives me goosebumps. I can still feel what it was like to have this awesome love all around me that stayed with me day after day after day and has remained with me to this day. And you see, if we hold on to that, it's really our first love. It's the first time that that real unconditional, that self-sacrificing, that giving love came into our lives. And we need to be persuaded. We need to be confident that we've been persuaded that that life that has come to abide within us is able to keep. Now, what is it that you want God to keep? There are many things. Of course, he's the keeper of our life. And as I said, he's given us life, but he's given us life in abundance. As I said, not just the breathing in and out. The animals have life and the plants have life. But Jesus came to give us a life of eternity, a life that is real, a life of spirit, that we might live and grow and have this abundance in everything that we see, everything we do, everything we touch. We need to know that abundant life, that he is able to keep it, because Jesus died on the cross and he rose and he said, it is finished. It is kept with me. It is taken to the Father on your behalf. It is finished. I've kept it. I've overcome it for you. It is done. It is done. Do you know that today? Do you live that every day? Do you just feel inspired when you come here and hear the Word of God and then go home and forget it tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday? We need to hold on to that. He is able to keep. He keeps it. He keeps you. He keeps your future. He keeps your past. He keeps everything. It is safe. Whatever you commit to him, if you have committed to him your life, it is safe. If you have committed to him your family, parents, we can struggle with our children. We all go through struggles. John and I, praise God that our children are in him. But we had our struggles. We had our questions. There were clashes. They always come because our children, when they're very little, they do what mummy and daddy say. As they get older, they start to stand, and that's great. They start to have their opinion. But sometimes their opinion can be led by ungodly friends or other influences that come into their life. And so when we start to come and talk to them about that, there can be a clash because they feel, now I'm 18, I've been given a license, I can do anything. But we need to know that he's able to keep that. But you see, we need to go then and pray. We need to go then and stand. We need to get into the power of his spirit and really trust him. There is a time to say something to your children. And sometimes it needs to be fairly strong, but then we need to leave it. But you see, if we're working on this thing here, we'll overdose it and we'll say too much because we are not trusting. We are not trusting and knowing that he's able to keep. As we saw this morning with this dear little baby, he's been given to these people. Your children have been given to you as a gift to train, to nurture, to love, and to bring the truth of God. And the greatest expression of that we can give our children is not only what we say, but what we do. Husbands, love your wives. Not just affectionately, love them unconditionally. Love them with your strength. Love them with your covering. Overshadow them with your strength and purpose and confidence and wisdom. Women, respect your husbands. Draw alongside your husband and respect him. That doesn't mean we can't disagree on something, but the respect needs to stay intact. Unconditionally love them. Love them. And the same with our children. We can say, if they know that we love them and we would do anything for them. It may be your finances that you're struggling with. And it's not just, you see, when we come to this commitment to God and knowing that he's able to keep, it's not just my finances for this week. I trust him from the moment I was saved, that all of that was kept in him, that he would lead me and guide me in wisdom and truth, because I hadn't had a good example of finances. I was brought up with gambling and drinking and lack of responsibility to the maximum. If you want it, you have it. You don't worry about tomorrow. Too bad if you've got nothing to eat, as long as you get what you want. And so God had to teach me all those things. And I praise God for the husband that he gave me, that taught me a lot of those things as well, because he had those principles installed in his life. But over and above that, I had to know that he was able to keep that for me, that he, my Lord, was able to keep it, that I could trust him, and that he would never let me go, that if I went to him to ask a question, he would give me the answer as to what I could do concerning my finances, that he would guard. You see, we need an intimate relationship with our God. I know my husband very well, but I know him intimately, as most of you would with your spouse or your loved one, your family. I know him as my best friend, my dearest companion, who walks beside me, and I share his love and he shares his to me. I know what he's entrusted to me and I know what I've entrusted to him. I know him intimately. Well, we need to know the Lord in a deeper intimacy even than that, because I can share certain things with my husband, but there are things I can only share with my Lord. There are things that are so close to our heart that we can only share with him. And you know, he already knows it before we speak it, but he wants us to share it with him. We must know him as our friend, as our counsellor, as our guide, as our lover. It says in John 15:13-15, no greater love than this is that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. Jesus walked very closely to his Father. We need to walk very closely to him. We need to know the Spirit of God at work within us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, in Christ, for he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favour and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favoured us with in the beloved. Ephesians 1:3-6. I love that scripture. Blessed be our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us every spiritual blessing. You see, on that moment when you met Jesus, everything you needed was given to you. And you know, we sometimes question that because we say, oh, but Pat, I'm still struggling in this. We have to learn it. We have to know it, but it's there. You know, when a baby is born, this little fellow over here and Gadgen and Joyce's little baby, they're only very tiny. But when they were born, everything they needed physically is within them. Their brain is formed. It's not just developing now, it's there. But they will learn to use that brain. They will learn to use their muscles and strengthen their body. And we know that their little heads drop around like this because the skull is so heavy, because it needs to be. It holds this awesome thing that God created called a brain that has so many cells. Now, you see, those cells don't have anything in them yet. They have little things because the child knows when it's hurt, it knows when it's hungry, it knows when it's got a dirty nappy, and make sure you know about that too. And so all of those things are there, ready for that to be used. How could we doubt that a God who would create such a magnificent creation would come into us when we receive Christ, put his spirit within us, and not give us everything we need? Does that answer your question? Think about it, people. Now use this. Think about it. God has clothed us with everything we need. We need to get in touch with it. We need to trust. We need to be persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That day when I meet him face to face, that I won't go and say, but God, I got into trouble because you didn't give me this and you didn't. He'll say, no, it's there, you didn't find it. You didn't ask me. You didn't seek it. Seek and you shall find. Knock at the door and it'll be open to you. We need to ask. We need to seek the things of the Spirit. We need to stand in faith. That's what it's all about. Persuasion is faith. Believing to the uttermost that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to his mighty power at work within me. We need to be spirit people. We need to put off the flesh and walk in the Spirit. We need to have our mind focused on him and his work within us, not on what we think that we've got to do, how we think that we're going to tackle the situation. If we want a life that is full of him, we need to be seeking him. We need to be feeding on him. We need to be hungry. We need to be desperate. When I get up in the morning, I'm desperate for him. I'm desperate for him, not just that he might fix the things that are aching in my body. I'm desperate because I know that I have nothing without him. I need him more than I need food. I need him as I need the air to breathe. And if we have that desperation, if we have that confidence, then we will do the exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Doing things, I know, as many of you would know, that there are times that in the natural, it doesn't seem possible. And the old mind and the body will say to me, Pat, you can't do that. And the Lord says, but I've called you for that purpose. Even this ministry that God's called us to. Someone said to us, and I may have said this before, and it's not to say anything negative. It was obviously their thoughts and they're allowed to have them. Someone said to us a couple of years ago, said to me, I was having a bit of trouble with my leg. And they said, oh dear, do you think you've left it a bit late? It's 10 years too late. And I just listened and I thought, no, I'm not going to receive that. They might have meant it with the best intent, but I'm not going to receive it. And I went away and I prayed about it. And then I was able to go back to that person and say, no, the time is now, because God said the time is now. And I mightn't have been ready for it 10 years ago. But believe me, My legs might give me a few problems, but my spirit is alive, and my legs will come under the control of my spirit, his spirit. And I praise God that that happens. That happens daily. And that's not a boast, that's a faith statement. And that's what we need to walk in. It doesn't matter what valley you're walking through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he leads us out then into those green pastures. He leads us out to this table that's prepared just for you, that you may partake. That's what he wants you to know today. He wants you to feed on him. He wants you to be hungry for him. He wants you to be persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed. He is well and truly able. He gave his life to keep it. He gave his life to keep you. He gave everything for you. Are you convinced today? Have you been persuaded? Have you been convinced, won over, moved, led? I have, many years ago. And that doesn't mean there are times in our life when we go through struggles that we don't question. It's okay to ask why. As we grow, we learn we don't have to. We just say, Lord, I just trust you. But as we're growing, we can ask why. David asked why many times. And God is able. You know, we get so caught up with being afraid that God will deal with us as we deal with each other if we question. God's not like that. Just very quickly, and I may have shared it before, but when I stopped asking why was many years ago when we lost a baby. And there were many things happened, and in those days it was like, you know, stiff upper lip, and, you know, John didn't show me how he felt because he had to be strong for me and I had to be strong for him and all this nonsense. And I cried, but then I had to go home and look after two little children. And so there was a real grieving in my heart, and we just lock it away. We just lock it away, but see, God knew it was there. And about 6 weeks later, I was out at the clothesline, pegging clothes on the line, and this thought came to me, I should be pegging nappies. And as I said that, this anger rose within me. Not grief, anger. And I ran down the backyard. The children weren't around. I probably were asleep or something. But I ran down the yard and I raised my fists and I said, God, why did this happen? And then I started to hit the fence and I started to cry. And as I hit, the fence became this huge chest that came out. And you can think what you like, that's what I saw. And it was like I was hitting the chest of God. And God said to me, it's okay, I love you enough. You hit me as long as you need to, until you allow me to comfort you. And then I fell on my knees and broke and cried. And God brought a healing into my life. A real healing. And it didn't mean that there wasn't still pain and still a missing, but it was, I learned and I was persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. He knew what I would go through. I don't always know why these things happen, but I was able to again commit to him and thank him that he would lead my life. And God blessed us with two other beautiful children. And there are still times I think about that child, but it's with a confidence and with a faith and with a joy. You see, God grows us out of the struggles. God grows us out of the difficulties. Samson needed Delilah. Each person, the children of Israel, needed the sea. We need these things that come against us so that we can stand and say, I am persuaded that he, that you, Lord God, are able to keep my life and everything in it, every purpose, every today, every tomorrow, to you, because you are able to lead and guide me into your purposes and your strength. You see, if we go any other direction, we're out of God's will and we'll be a mess. If we go God's direction, we may have struggles, but he has overcome. He said, I've overcome everything. Find your strength, find your purpose, find your knowledge in me. Return back to that time when you first knew the Lord. Allow his spirit to surge within you and fill you with joy and purpose and knowledge and overcoming power, and stand in the victory that Jesus Christ came to bring. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning that you, Lord God, have spoken your word to us, that, Lord God, we would be persuaded to trust you, that, Lord, we do not know what even the next minute holds, but we have to be certain that you, Lord, holds our tomorrow, for we know who holds our future, and we know the one who holds our hand and holds our life. And you have promised that nothing is impossible for you. Not that mountain that we're facing, nor the task that we dread, nor the decision we can get afraid to make. You don't always show us, Lord, what these things will hold, but you give us the confidence to know that no matter what, we have the victory. We have the future. And we have a plan that you have laid before us, and that you are good and truthful to your word always. So we just bless you now and thank you. Father, I just pray that you might stir your heart, stir your word, Lord God, the sword, your sword of the Spirit, Lord God, that you might stir your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, that it may cut open hearts today, that it may cut hearts open, Lord, to be truthful and honest before you. Lord, I believe we are living in a now time. It is time for the church to rise. It is time for individuals to open up our hearts before you and get real, Lord, and allow you to work your work within us by the power of your Spirit, to no longer be led around with many, many thoughts and purposes, but to get in touch with your Spirit. Allow your Spirit to surge life within us and purpose, and your will, Lord God, your will that we would not fight and struggle, but that we would submit to you. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you or even may question their salvation, Father, I pray that they would not leave here today, for now is the time. Now is the time that God has appointed for you to come into that security and that fullness of that abundant life in Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you always in his precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.